Molly. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So we are in the home stretch. That's how I'm thinking about it. Yeah. No, Keisha's still here, and here's Dana. We still have some press. But our purpose today is to go through the bylaws and the procedures in a judicious but expeditious manner to make sure that people are okay so that we can recommend that these go to the board for our July 21st meeting. I am going to presume that people have reviewed these. I thank those of you who did send comments. We've tried where possible to incorporate them. And we should just move along. So I'd like to start on the bylaws on page one, if I might. And I'm just going to, the only other thing I would tell you is staff has misplaced some materials. There is a letter from the RAC. They're finding them. Okay. There is a letter from the RAC that came this morning with two issues. So, and they're both in, one's in the bylaws, one's in the procedures. So hopefully they'll find the copies before we get to those sections, okay?
The RAC letter is in line.
Is it dated July 7th?
Oh, no. It's
yeah. Yeah, no, this is a new letter.
And just one other question with respect yes. to the to our disclosures ethics policy. We're going to do, I'm
Make
on,
sure,
I think.
Are you
I am on,
on
yes. Okay. Now we're going to, how we're going to treat that as in terms of next follow-up meetings.
I'm sorry, say that
with
again.
With respect to the disclosures policy.
The code of ethics, great question.
Yeah. Yes.
Code of ethics will come back to the governance meeting on the 21st, and if we can finalize it, then we'll move it to the board agenda. If we need to take more time, we'll take more time. Okay? All right. So let us begin on page one. Anybody have a question or concern relative to any of the changes proposed there?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Ms. Warren.
There's an issue that was raised several times in the bylaws, and it was raised at the first point on the first page, which is this comment W-2 about, in reaction, I think, to the phrase, the board speaks with one voice. When I reviewed it, I didn't have any thoughts about how to deal with this, but I just feel rather uncomfortable for us to just go past it without saying anything, and I'm hoping someone else will come up with a brilliant way to deal with it.
You know, I think the intention here is to say that the policy is made and all board members accurately reflect the policy, although they may say as individuals that they disagree or they didn't vote for it. But the intention is to imply that we now have policy as an entity, as the board. So I don't know if that's clarifying or if others disagree.
Should some of that language be incorporated into the wording here, or what was the? I don't have an objection to the way that the comment is stated, but the question that they seem to raise here and in several other places is: should there be language in the bylaws that acknowledges the point that they're making? I think is what.
Ms. Hudgens.
I think that to put language to it would start to change the substance there. And I think what it's saying is that the board has to be of one voice. And if you're going to be of one voice, you start here. Doesn't mean that others don't have opinions or comments or the like. But I think I understand what the NBTC is saying. And it's all factual, what they're saying. But if you want the policy to be that we work to speak with one voice about what all of our policy decisions are, I don't think you should qualify that. Otherwise, you sort of lose it.
I agree with Ms. Hutchins. I think this is well stated, and I think we understand what it means. There are a couple of places in here where these comments are getting us away from something that's very clear and understood into something that would be highly contentious. I'd like to stick with what we have, speak with one voice, first among equals. It's a real, to me, it's a philosophical statement of how we're intending to operate.
Okay. Is everyone all right with that then? If so, we'll just, let's move along then to the next page. Questions, concerns on that page?
Which page are we on?
We're on page 2.
Okay.
Yeah, page 2, sorry. Everyone okay?
Yeah.
Page 2? Okay, page 3. UCW 7, we have added a meeting. We changed the word from summit to meeting to give us more flexibility in how we might accomplish this. Just
put
so
the premise that we should be having this kind of
absolutely
outreach.
Absolutely, but with less specificity about how it might happen. Any other questions on page 3?
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Downs.
Chair.
Yes.
On D4.
Yep.
Hold public hearings prior to raising any fare or rate or implementing a major service reduction. The realignment of the
blue and yellow.
Yeah, the blue and yellow. Thank you for that. was a service modification. It wasn't a reduction. We wouldn't have had a hearing on that change because it was not raising a fare or a major service reduction.
Ms. O'Keefe.
Well, that's always something that the board could choose to have a public hearing on. These are the identified mandated public hearing topics really under the compact. The board also, and bylaws and procedures state they can choose to have public hearing or otherwise seek public comment on matters of importance. So, but I don't believe that that service change would be a required public hearing, although I believe that there are extensive public outreach efforts that will be associated with that change. And they can take many forms, and the board might wish to have some type of public forum or public hearing.
I am recalling, and I don't know if Phil or Bruce know exactly where it is. We have another sentence. It's in the procedures?
Yes.
I was going to say, if you read number 3,
yeah.
I think the very first sentence covers exactly what Tom just mentioned. Affecting transportation in the zone with which the authority is concerned. Clearly, this is in the zone the authority of which the authority will be concerned. So do a public hearing under 3 as stated for this instance that he just described.
I think 4 was an attempt to capture exactly what was in the compact and nothing more.
Okay.
Anything else here on page 3?
Put it up here. We must have them, and then
yeah, that's right.
May
it's in Article 13 is the language.
Why don't we make it hold public hearings in accordance with Article 13?
It change number 4, hold public hearings in accordance with Article 13.
Set forth in Article 13.
I think there's some utility to having all the information you need in this document. Rather than relying on referrals to other documents?
Oh, it's Article 13 in this document.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Yeah, it is in this document. Yeah, I mean, the sentence we inserted in 13 was, the board may also authorize public hearings and meetings on other matters as it deems appropriate, is what we put in the language for the public hearing section.
Well, that captures, obviously, the board's decisions from time to time to have public forum or even have an actual public hearing. In fact, on the service changes, if there are bus changes that don't quite meet the criteria of major service reduction, at least the board historically has still included those if you are already going out for public comment on a major service reduction. So Article 13 captures the discretionary public hearings as well. Those two sections serve a different function.
Right.
So,
do you feel strongly, Mr. Downs, that we need to make any additional adjustments here?
Not particularly.
Okay, good. Then let's not, if you don't feel strongly. Anything else on three? Hearing none, let's move to four. Yes. Please go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The only thing I would point out, this is one of the places where we do respond to one of our recommendations from GAO under A6. We had self-evaluation of the board. They had suggested, and its committees, so we have captured that and made clear that it's annual. So that is indeed responsive to one of their suggestions. Anything else on this page? Are you back on three?
We have the Board of Trade's desire to get rid of the second vice chair.
Oh, yes, I had that on my list. My thought was it's permissive. The language is permissive. We may, we don't have to. It gives us, if we feel we want it, somebody's got a job issue where it might be difficult, it'll gives us that backup. But it doesn't require it. Mr. Downs is back on page three. Yes, sir.
D8, I just need a word clarification.
Sure.
Enlarge the transit zone to embrace any additional area per advice of MBTC. And
would you prefer include?
Does that mean that there is no discretion at the board level? Is this a mandatory? Is it?
I don't think I have my compact. That's actually language directly from the compact, and I think I came down here without it. You have it. Yeah, I don't know how I managed to come down without it, but no, it's not. It's not there. It's not where it is.
Well, I think your point about discretion is an important point. If others do as well, we can rework this sentence.
I just think it's important to have clarity about what it is that we're saying the board's role is here. If it's simply to embrace, that's we can do an embrace resolution.
We can hug it. We can hug it without accepting it, right? colleagues, if people sort of agree with Mr. Downs on this, what I would suggest is rather than Carol trying to find it.
I am finding it. I can never find this section.
Let's flag this, and we'll go back and research where the language came from, and if we need to make an adjustment, we'll do that.
Eight three? Are you saying the page? Could you speak up?
Page 32.
Okay. Oh, that's right. I knew it's at the very, very end, which is why it's all right, let me just read so everybody will understand. When advised in writing by the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission or the Washington Suburban Transit Commission that the geographical area embraced therein has been enlarged, the board upon such terms and conditions as it may deem appropriate shall by resolution enlarge the zone to embrace the additional area. So it's...
They were a huggy group.
It's kind of a combination of
embracing and such conditions as the board.
Yeah, but I believe that you will enlarge the transit zone to include
with
those
such conditions as the board may determine as appropriate, right?
So it's a combination of mandatory and discretionary.
So it seems to me that maybe the thing to do is to add the qualifier at the end of this sentence. You know, under such conditions and whatever the language was, Carol, conform it to the compact. Okay? Are we done with number three now?
We are.
Okay. to raise?
Nope.
On page 5.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
In terms of the...
Is your mic on, Ms. Porter?
Oh, I think so.
Okay. I think
in terms of the Article 4, I know this is a editing thing. After I thought about it, I'm not sure what the term interrelationship means and how that's different from a relationship.
Oh, you're just suggesting it be read board CEO relationship?
Yes.
Fine. I think that's fine. I would point out in the fourth sentence in this article, which talks about our primary responsibility, that the oversight notion is missing. And we do, somewhere we have a really great sentence about our role, our policy oversight, et cetera. So at a minimum, I would just suggest we put oversight into this sentence.
All right, we'll include it.
Yeah.
We'll find the appropriate one.
Okay. People are okay with that. Okay, moving on to the next page. Is there anything here on page 6? MBTC in comment W19 raised the issue of should this be as narrow as a study or should it include other things? And I feel that I haven't been around long enough to answer that question. A study is very clear to me. Other things might get us into the weeds on stuff. So I don't know if others have an opinion on that. Hearing none, can we leave it as it is? People okay? All right. Anything else on this page that anyone wants to raise? Nope.
On the bottom line,
yes, sir.
The broadcasting.
Yes.
I think we fixed it by saying to the extent feasible.
Yes.
Yeah.
We didn't want feasible to only be about technology.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, page 7. The only note there is kind of a funny one since it says 48 hours, so I think.
Well, I thought about what was the form of the advance notice? Do we have to call them up, serve them a subpoena? Send them a postcard.
I think it's notice based on the way
fine.
We usually
right.
notice.
Yes.
All right. Anything? Let's move on to 8. I think we are all comfortable with the approach on veto, and we did have a comment about trying to put more words around voting, but I think all of us know that board members can pull things if they wish. I also think some of this comment 23 could be addressed in how we schedule our committee meetings versus our board meetings. And so I would, it's more of a, to me, this is more of a scheduling thing.
It relates to an issue that I have, which is having some adequate time between committee meeting and board meeting to
and I
digest
think,
what's been done.
I think
but
that's,
I don't think we have to write it into bylaws.
I agree. Moving on to 9. Remind everybody we have to turn our mics on because they are streaming this. On 9, on legislative strategy, which has been on this list and off this list, having consulted with a number of jurisdictional partners, there are ways to using the existing categories address legislative strategy needs of particular sorts inside the existing list. So I would suggest we remove that. Okay. 10. Anybody have a concern on 10? Page 10. Nope.
I think it's sort of demeaning to say we have to come back in and swear we haven't done anything unfortunate, but if we have to do that, we have to do that.
We do that on a regular basis in local
okay.
government.
All right. The council will remind us when we come back in that we have to do that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Page 11.
A public session after each executive session, or would
yes.
on occasion that be an affirmation at the next public meeting?
It's right after the session.
And that's been our practice, to always come back after an executive session.
Yep.
The board will reconvene in open session, if only to make that particular certification. There might be an open session immediately following, but if not, practice is to reconvene in open session.
It's fine. It takes a minute. Yeah. Okay, we're on page 11 now. We moved some sections, some sentences around inside B just to provide more clarity on and sort it out a little bit better, but it's not a whole lot of new language there, just clarification. Okay, moving on to page 12. Anybody have anything there?
On the, excuse me, limiting of debate, assume if we, with the way this is written, it sort of says the committee chair could bring down the gavel and end debate. We're not putting that in, but assume it's still permissible for someone to offer a motion to limit debate.
Right. Yeah. Robert's rules applies.
Yeah, Robert, yeah.
This, what the way the sentence was written actually gave the committee chair power beyond Robert's rules,
right.
And
okay.
So we made a decision to stick with Robert's rules.
Fine.
There, okay. Anybody else on this, on page 12? Nope. Page 13. The Planning Program Development and Real Estate Committee, the change down at the bottom is related to the work we did on procurement at our last board meeting, so that just gets that into conformance there. I'm now on page 14, which is the Governance Committee. There's one small edit we need to make here, third line up from the bottom, which is ensuring the timely and regular completion of board self-evaluation, not board member self-evaluation. It's the board that is going to engage in that activity. Okay. And then public hearings, we already talked about those sentences. And then Accessibility Advisory Committee, this is a, we had kind of worked through some of this language. The new paragraphs are the same for both sections. And we think they're comfortable. Now, this is where the RAC letter comes in, which I believe, Blayda, did everybody has a copy of the new RAC letter. Their concern as, maybe Ms. O'Keefe, maybe you want to summarize their concern.
Well, from the letter, their concern seems to me to be that they would be made to use the public access to records policy procedures to make a request. But that's not the intent at all. The way the Article 14 addresses requests from either the RAC or the AAC is to go through their respective staff liaison, and if they're not satisfied with the result, then this section, these sections direct those bodies to the board chair. And the board chair will resolve any outstanding matters. There is no intent whatsoever to make either committee go through the process to make a request under the public access to record policy. However, there are some exceptions in the policy that address confidential matters, proprietary matters, security matters, personnel matters, and those restrictions on disclosures would be taken into account because, of course, both of those committees meet in open session. So the concept is that staff will be fully responsive, but will have to take into consideration other board policies that address release of information. There is no intent in the drafting to make either of those committees or those bodies wait in line in the PARP requests. So I don't see it as an impediment to the release of information. It's just a defining phrase that states what we would have to do in any event, and releasing matters to what would be a public forum.
I think that, thank you, Carol, because these two things seem to be linked together to me. Their other ongoing concern has been, if we are told no, we can't give, staff says no, we're not going to give that to you. Their question has been, well, then what happens? The procedures, if you look on page 7 of the procedures, which is 9B, kind of in the middle of the page, it says Writers Advisory Council, similar language under Accessibility Advisory Council. The second sentence says, the board secretary shall notify the WMATA board chair and the RAC chair in the event that a RAC request is not fulfilled. When I went to their meeting, one of the other things they wanted us to do was write a more definitive approach to the board chair then shall, you know, have a meeting with the RAC people, you know, make the manager do it, you know, any number of sort of things where they were trying to sort of prescribe this, the next steps, which I understand from their point of view why they would want to do that. My view at this point has been that once if the board chair finds that out, the board chair has some, I think, onus to do something to understand better what was going on and why they wanted the information and why staff said no. But I'm kind of at the place this in the procedures not wanting to, because we have no experience with it, not wanting to write something that's, yeah.
And if we do that and the board chair still says no, they'll want to take it somewhere else.
Right. And so I just think, I think we've all said we're not saying you have to get in the PARP line. This is about release of whether information will be released or not in the bylaws. And then in the procedures, we're saying if you don't get the answer, your recourse is the board chair and the board. So I'm comfortable there if the rest of you are.
They also have access to the board during the board's meeting for the review. And if they have an open forum with the full board to raise an issue.
And the people from the jurisdictions can call the board members from their jurisdiction. Right. So I feel like there's a lot of ways if they feel that they're stymied for them to get to us to ask for additional help. Okay, and then the last thing I would just note is a change in the bylaw amendment, which I think is important. While a majority vote of the board can change the bylaws, there has to be the regular advance notice on a regular agenda for that vote to take place. It can't be added the morning of the meeting or the day before the meeting. It has to be in the regular notice so everyone is aware. Okay. Let us quickly move through procedures, and it's taken a little bit longer than I thought, probably because I'm talking too much. All right. Page 1. Anybody? We have, in the second to last line of Article 1, we've got a wording typo thing that I think we just need to cross out request to. So it says the CEO may discuss how to proceed.
Yes.
Just read from. How about page 2? This is where we went through all the work around how people can, many ways people can testify. Anybody? Page 3? Anybody? No? Page 4? This is yours, Mr. Downey, in the middle of the page. We had proposed, as you all will remember, the agenda comes out to everybody on Friday. The items are not released to the public, and this says 10 o'clock on Monday. Mr. Downey had suggested it be a later time. We've also heard from a number of the people who monitor us that losing the weekend will be challenging for them because that's how they communicate with each other. So we're kind of in this, we need to make a decision about a time. And again, I would say these are procedures and we can try it. And if we all hate it and they really find it, we can change it when we do the next go-round. So I think it's really the pleasure of the board. 10 o'clock versus noon.
My thought about noon was, give enough time for the board members to read and digest the material over the weekend, and enough time on Monday morning to have a turnaround with the staff if you didn't really understand it. If we make it 10 a.m., I'm not sure that would happen before the public has it and starting calling and asking questions. But I could, you know, we can see how it works.
Yeah. Do others have any?
The only thing I was going to say is so much of the important stuff we don't even get. I mean, how many things trickled in over the last 48 to 72 hours that drove all of us crazy? I mean, we had big presentations on important items today that we didn't even get information from the staff until yesterday. I don't even have the luxury of reading it the weekend before. Most times we're doing it a couple of days before and then trying to coordinate all the stuff that comes in. What I'm worried about on this one is that if you give the information too early and it's as incomplete as some of the information we get, it looks worse. Because then you look like you're not giving people information that's pertinent or you're hiding something from them. So it's a double-edged sword. You set the date too early, you don't give them good information. You set it much later, like we were still getting information yesterday, last night. There is a staff discipline issue here that goes well beyond this discussion we're having here today. But I'm getting increased concerns from people that even we're not getting the information in a timely manner.
Well, some of that, though, is staff discipline. Some of it is just the time that we are in. We are going through a lot of transition in terms of staffing as well as policy procedure, a lot of things that are moving very quickly that have urgency that, frankly, don't get to that place of readiness till a late point. And I think my hope is that over time, a lot of the issues that we deal with on an urgent basis where the information comes an hour or 2 hours or 24 hours, that begins to dissipate. Otherwise, we as a board, I think, need to be criticizing ourselves for what kind of an arrangement we set up that requires that kind of urgent data. I mean, that's not to criticize your point. I don't mean to say that, but I think some of this is going to wear down over time. I really do.
I think we do need to have a larger discussion outside of this context about that subject, because in my 3.5 years on this board, that has never improved. That has been that way every day. So it's not just a recent phenomenon. We've been dealing with that. I mean, trying to coordinate the right information and getting updates and blue sheets and information the day of the meeting and the night before is something that the staff here has gotten comfortable doing to us and to our secretary, who gets driven crazy too. So we need to deal with that issue as a board, because I don't think it's a professional way to act in a public venue. And if we're going to be looking at the date we're going to give the public information, we're going to be criticized for giving them bad information if we don't fix that problem.
I think you're right. That's a conversation we should have with the GM very directly about what our expectations are.
Part of the evaluation process.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, Mr. Giancola.
Yeah, I just want to comment that and I've been on just a little longer than Jeff on the board, and I agree with his comments, but, you know, we used to have the public information sent out on Friday, and we did shift it to Monday or Tuesday, depending on if it was a holiday. So it's gotten a little better, and fortunately for me, I'm able to review this stuff in the evenings and over the weekend, but I can understand the position that you're in.
And just to add, that's one of the reasons we moved it to Monday, so that we would get more complete information, and it hasn't come to fruition.
Okay. So are we comfortable leaving it at 10 for now, and we'll see what happens? We'll all kind of pay attention, and we'll let our groups know that they need to talk to us if they have real issues, too, as we go forward. Okay. Moving on to page 5. These are relatively minor, just kind of editing and clarification changes on this page. Anybody have anything? Page six. Actually, you know, we've under 7A, which is this formation of committees paragraph, every time we've come to this, everybody's kind of went, why does it still say shall be committees of the whole? And we've said, well, you know, it's because that's what we're doing this year. And today, when I read through it, or yesterday when I read through it, I had an idea for how to fix it. So it doesn't say that anymore. So let me try this on you guys and see if you like it. Starting with, each committee shall be chaired by a principal board member. End of sentence. A list of committee chairs, vice chairs, and membership, and tentative schedule of meetings is shown in attachment one. Then each year you create that attachment one. It's just an updated one for the year. It shows who the chairs are. If it's committees of the whole, it lists everybody. If it's not, it lists who's on the committee. And then you don't have to go in and change this part of the procedures every time. So does that make sense?
Yeah. All right. Nice and clean.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How many times did I read it, darn thing, before I thought of it? Okay.
Question.
Yes, sir.
We're going to be hopefully approving this at the next meeting, correct?
Yes.
A question for the chair of the overall board. Are we going to have committee assignments at that next meeting? Okay. Because we might as well hit the ground running at that point. Okay.
I was saying, and I think I've said this to several other members, that I would poll the board on at the strategic planning meeting for us to decide what we like, say, a September change. And my reason for asking the question, because we would then establish, name it committees, and we could do other things. But it would require possibly another change 4 months later. So that's the question that could be asked. So I think you should just put it in your head, and we can answer it next week, week after next. It'd be a good way to look
you
at it.
You might even have a new voting.
No. Oh, may have a new voting.
Try it. Mr. Downey.
Yeah, one relating to this, we actually did not discuss it when we're talking about bylaws, but we are continuing the practice knowledgeably that the alternates will be full participants at the committee level.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. No change in that. Yep. All right. You ready to move to page 7? We already really discussed Article 9. Article 10 is new language. We had, as you will recall, last week we talked about the, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Code of Ethics. And we have some more work to do there. But this part, Article 10, really seemed to us to belong in procedures. And working with our IG and counsel, they've sort of laid this out for us as a tentative procedure should an allegation come forward. Also gives a definition of how an allegation would be made. So I put it before you for your consideration. I think it is the right place for it, not in the Code of Ethics, but in the procedures. And I think this is something we can at least we have something now if something were to occur. But open to other ideas and suggestions if people have them. Okay, hearing none. There we are at the end, page 8. So we'll make those few adjustments between now and the next board meeting. We will have the governance committee meeting prior to the board meeting. We'll bring you back the cleaned up ethics. Perhaps have a little conversation in closed session around one section of that where it's appropriate. And if the board is comfortable, we can add it to the board agenda. And if not, we can hold it over till September, whatever the board's pleasure would be. But the goal would be to get something that's very close to done, if not done. Is that everybody okay with that?
We'll have it in advance. So
absolutely. Yeah, it'll be there with the regular distribution. I'm looking at my compatriots. Yes.
It's essentially done now.
Yeah.
So
by 10 a.m.
No, on Friday. Okay. All right. Well, thank you all. Mr. Barnes.
Maybe I'm the only one who is concerned about this. I've mentioned it before, and I've raise it again. It has been raised by some of the groups that have looked at our structure, and that is that I just think this board is too big, and I'm willing to be one of those to step aside if the board is reduced in size. I think a 16-member board and 16-member committees is not best practice for governance of an organization like this. And I think we ought to very seriously consider that. The groups that have looked at our governance have suggested we seriously look at it. I recognize it requires a change in the compact, which is a huge deal. And maybe I'm the only one here who really believes that this is something we ought to address. I recognize it's not going to be addressed next week or next month, but this is not good governance. The GAO looked at other transit systems around the country, and I think we were the largest board. There was one, I think, that was 12. New York is large. Okay, but anyway, one of them was five members. I think Chicago was five members. And anyway, I feel strongly. I've spent a lot of time on governance over the last many years because I've chaired the governance committee of another organization, and I've been to umpteen governance conferences, and I really believe we have a bad structure going forward for an organization of this type, and that we ought to address it. And I don't know when is an appropriate time to consider that, and maybe I'm the only one here who feels this way. And if so, then that's that. But when would be the proper time to consider whether or not we agree with those organizations that looked at our structure and said we've got the wrong structure? Because I think they're right.
Yes.
I would. I've got a lot to ask this, so I'm going to have my comment, and I might not hear it. Want to provoke a discussion. I really think that may be a discussion for the board. I think the view has been is the appointing folks who they must decide whether or not it's too large or not. I think the committees. I agree with. I think that's why the bylaws have structured it that way, and that is how I think we will function, hopefully, sooner than later. I think we're only here because of the newness and the ability to function well this year. But that can be done. But I think if that's something that the board wants to take up as a discussion at another time, I think it could be that. But I just personally believe it's the appointing authorities that have. And I say so because there are other changes coming down the pipe for Metro. In terms of the extension. So something has to be decided as to how you bring in new members that will be party to the extension, or will it be under the manner in which other states produce the property. But I think to me it's left to compact, but the board can surely opine. I think we can also use our experience
I think there are larger issues about compact than I think there are larger issues about the compact than just the structure of the board.
That's right.
And that has to be part of a political leadership discussion. I think it's one of the things that we have lacked in an annual cycle about the two governors, the mayor, now the federal government being party to discussions with the board. But I know from my standpoint, there are a number of other issues around the compact that are important to the elected leadership in the district that would not necessarily be the same as the issue around the structure of the board. And it's even made more complex, I think, because the Congress made itself a direct participant in that set of discussions about changing the nature of the board. So they have to be party to a round of discussion about changing the composition of the board.
Mr. Nicholas.
I would only add that I do think that it's an important discussion to have. I think that the process that we've been going through, which I think you've done an awesome job of leadership in moving it through, that's an incredible amount of work that's been done to this point. I think to the extent that we recognize that there is work to be done whether it's at the board level or at the compact level or at the governor's or jurisdiction's level, I think that we need to raise those issues. That's our obligation to raise those issues. And if we believe there's a structure that will, a change that will improve how the system runs, I think it's our obligation to raise that issue and discuss it, figure out how we fit within it, whether it be board size or the other kinds of compact issues that need to be there. We need to make sure that we raise those issues and discuss them.
And do you want to talk, Jeff?
Well, the only thing I was going to say is I agree with you. I mean, I think the board is too big, but I also want to respect the jurisdictional differences. It's a much easier problem, in my opinion, to solve for some jurisdictions besides Virginia just because of who pays for the service. And that becomes a really big problem in Virginia. And you can't reduce one jurisdiction's membership without reducing them all, which means you have people paying significant sums of money in Virginia with no voice on the board. And so that becomes an important issue, I think, for us as members. And is another complication, which I think is one of the reasons why originally we decided that at this stage we were going to fix what we controlled and fix it well and let other people still deal with the larger issues. And as Kathy said, we can opine from time to time. I agree with the concept the board's too big. I just don't have an easy way to fix it in Virginia without people going unrepresented. And so there are those nuances that I think we have to respect.
Yes,
so understanding that the board probably is too big, but the issues about changing it are tied to lots of other things. But nothing prevents us from making the committee smaller. And that's definitely within our powers,
yes. Yes.
Something I would suggest we ought to do.
Which I think is that was,
yeah,
Kathy's,
you know,
invitation,
right.
To,
yeah,
think about that.
Yeah.
Tony, did you want to?
No, I wanted to agree that I think committees of the whole are useless. I mean, it's plus if you're going to have now six committees, three of them will meet in alternate, I guess, meetings. You know, what if you're on one committee in one meeting and then two in the next one? And it just needs to be sorted out. We did try it once. It didn't really work that well, but maybe we need to kind of revisit that and make the committees a smaller group of people, certainly representing each jurisdiction.
And not every committee really does need to meet every,
right,
month.
Right, I think that is a very important point. I think that we have committees whose primary work is monitoring. We have other committees whose primary work is setting things up for the board for action. We need to sort that through so that maybe the time crunch is less for people. I guess the other thing that I would say, and maybe I'm outlier on this, is I'm not willing to concede yet that the group is too large. Because I don't understand what the value added of being smaller would be. And I think that's the conversation we should have. We, in our work here in the bylaws, we put a particular emphasis on the board being accessible to the public, not only at board meetings, but that writers can approach us. We have a number of other things we've really sort of laid down as expectations. This chairmanship is a big job. Chairing a committee, if any of us who are chairing committees know what a time, requirer that is. And so to get to a smaller group of people, when I think about having to step up and take on even more responsibility than I currently am and do my other elected job, it's daunting. And I care very much about Metro moving forward smoothly, et cetera, but I think we also have to look at what is the workload and how is that workload shared, not only among the voting members, but at the moment among the alternates, because we're going to have the alternates with us as long as the compact isn't changed. So I guess, you know, that's a I have a lot of respect for the work you've done, Mike, and so I would really appreciate a conversation about what smaller would gain us, just so I would understand better. Because, and again, I think all of us from Virginia, we walk in carrying this mantle of our governments step up, our local governments step up every single year with money to close these gaps. And for my jurisdiction, it's a lot of money. And to not, even as an alternate to be here, to voice what Arlington needs as part of what the region needs, gives people in my jurisdiction kind of, you know, pause. For 35 years, we've been funding this and investing and moving it forward. And all of a sudden, oh, see you guys later. It's a hard one. So, anyway, but I think we could talk about it.
The state could pick up your funding in Virginia and solve this problem for
you. Yeah, right.
The entire pot.
It goes trail.
Do you want that? That's the question. Do you want that? Okay, before we go, I need to say thank you, because Carol O'Keefe and Bruce Heppen and Phil and Loida and Nicola and Helen, these folks have done yeoman's work. We would not be where we are without the incredible, careful, thoughtful work that all these folks have done. And I just think we really need to say thank you, because it's been 6 months, and we are just about done. And you guys have been amazing, too, in your willingness to have these conversations. But I just really want to say thank you to all the staff.
And Madam Chair, may I add to that I very much appreciate your leadership, and I think we all do, in doing the background work and getting things ready so that we could make expeditious decisions. So you have done, I think, a very good job of leadership and pulling us, moving us forward on this.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure. All right. See you all in 2 weeks.
Well, next week.
Yeah, at the board meeting. I was.